Christmas is usually a time of joy, it's usually a time of celebrating, it's usually a time of family, it's a time of giving. And this year, Christmas is going to be different. For so many households, Christmas won't be the same as it normally is. But what will be interesting is whether or not Christmas Day will still feel different. For me, Christmas Day has always had a particular feel about it. Christmas Day always feels completely different. A couple of years ago, it was probably about 2001, something like that, maybe even 2000, Joe was really ill over Christmas. And she was ill about a day or so before Christmas, right the way through until the day after Boxing Day. She couldn't get up, she couldn't even come downstairs and open the presents with the girls, couldn't eat Christmas dinner, just could not get out of bed. It was just awful. So we said, well, okay, the kids were small. We said, look, we'll just open a few gifts, let the kids have a few of their toys, and then we'll just do Christmas Day on the 27th. So as soon as Joe felt better, we redid Christmas dinner. We kind of kept some of the toys back for the girls, and we tried to recreate the excitement of Christmas Day. And, you know, we woke up on the 27th and opened stockings and opened our presents, and we had a full-on Christmas dinner, and it just didn't feel right. It did not feel the same as Christmas Day. And even though Joe was ill on Christmas Day, she wasn't going to spoil my Christmas. Selfish as she was, being ill in bed. But even though she wasn't well, even though she could not get out of the bed because of how ill she was, Christmas Day still felt like Christmas Day. It felt different. Why is it that this one particular day that we've chosen, or tradition has chosen, to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, why does that one day feel so completely different? Why does it not feel right to play Christmas carols on Boxing Day? It just doesn't feel right. Leading up to where it might not feel right for most of us. For Sophie, it probably feels right to play Christmas carols all year round. But for most of us, it just doesn't feel right to have Christmas carols after Christmas. Everything points towards that one day. So the question this year is, it'll be a pretty good social experiment. Will Christmas Day still feel like Christmas Day? Will Christmas Day still feel different? For a day that has literally changed the world, as it were, for a day that kind of brings the world to a bit of a standstill, there are only a few verses that talk about the Lord's birth. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, we have one of the accounts of the Lord's birth. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day, for this time together, for this opportunity to be able to preach the gospel, Lord, to be able to gather even remotely and online, Lord. Thank you for the facilities to be able to do that. Thank you to all of those that have taken the time to sit down and watch the service today. And we just pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. We pray that you would encourage us. We are feeling the effects of this lockdown. There are those who are battling this virus as we speak. There are those who are struggling because of the anguish of being locked down again. And Father, we just pray that more than ever, we as a church, as individuals, would know a sense of your presence in our lives, that your scripture would speak to us louder than it ever has before. And Father, as we look at the state of the world today, similar to what it was back in the Lord's time, when there was so much uncertainty, when people felt hemmed in by those who had rule over them, especially there in Judea. And Father, in that day of darkness, the light of the world stepped in and changed the course of man's eternity. And Father, we just pray that today we would recognize that this dark world in which we lived can be blinded by the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we just ask for that light to shine more than ever at this time of year. As people are frustrated and hurt and confused, we just ask that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ would be proclaimed louder and clearer than ever before. And that as it goes out across the airwaves, as it goes out through Facebook and YouTube and whatever channels that are available to us, we just ask that somebody might come to know Christ as their Savior today. And Father, that they would understand that the Lord Jesus Christ was indeed the way in a manger. And as we look at that today, we'll recognize the significance of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Emmanuel, God with us. We look at the significance of God being laid in that manger. And Father, we just pray that you would undertake for us this morning, that you would speak to our hearts, encourage us, equip us, challenge us, and Lord, would you lift us up today as you once did out of that mighty clay and placed our feet upon the solid rock of our Savior. Would you do the same again for us today, for all of those who are feeling downhearted today? Help us to be the upright Christian we need to be, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. The birth of our Lord Jesus Christ is surrounded by many miracles. There are the angel appearances. There is the virgin conception. There is the prophecies. There are the angelic announcements. But the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we said, only... do me a favor, boys. Can you put the lapel mic on for me? Awesome. The birth of our Lord Jesus Christ only contains a few verses, but we just see the miracles contained within those verses. And you just try and picture the scene. Bethlehem is absolutely packed. I just couldn't help smiling then when, you know, when the announcement was made last night by our government to say, right, this is what you've got to do. You think, oh, there's nothing new under the sun. The government were telling people what to do back in Luke chapter 2 and said, right, you've all got to go now and be taxed. You know, that was something that caught Mary and Joseph by surprise. It wasn't something that they were able to plan for. It wasn't something that they were able to put in place for months and months before. Bethlehem was packed. There were people from all over Judea come to report for that census. And because of the large influx of people, we read that there was no room for them in the inn. But what was the inn? You know, we kind of, every year when a nativity play is put on, the innkeeper, you know, what a portrayal that innkeeper has had over the years. He'd become like a pantomime villain. You know, when Mary and Joseph weary and traveling and they knock on the door and there's no room in the inn, you know, go away. That's the kind of portrayal that we have. But this wasn't the Premier Inn or the Holiday Inn. It, you know, this wasn't a hotel like we would see today, because there are two words in the Greek that translate inn. One word is pandokchien, which was like a hotel. And it was something like something that had a manager, that had apartments and provisions. And this is where the Good Samaritan put the man that had been beaten on the road in Luke chapter 10. But then there's another word for inn, which is kataluma, which is used here. And it was an enclosure with walls and a roof in which someone who was traveling might put their livestock for the night or rest for the journey. It was more like a hitching post provided by the city or the town. Sometimes these did have sleeping areas where the travelers could rest, but they couldn't obtain food. Travelers had to provide their own food and bedding, and these places did have water, but there was no host on site, as it were. Looking at these words, we see that contrary to the pictures painted by the artist, the inn, the kataluma spoken of in this passage, was not a place like our modern hotels in which their needs were provided for and guests were looked after. This inn didn't have a proprietor who took care of registering the guests and supervising the hotel matters. There was no heartless innkeeper who stood by the door and said, go away, there's no room for you. And when Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem, all of these public resting places were filled. So they had to look for another place to rest. Obviously, Joseph, you can imagine the anxiety of Joseph because Mary was with child. Maybe her contractions had already started. And he ended up finding a place not where the travelers were, but where the animals were. In the Middle East, sometimes these stables were just niches in the side of a cliff face. Sometimes animals were kept in people's homes. If for those who didn't have the land, you know, sometimes they were just carved out of limestone rocks, and sometimes they were just open enclosures. The manger where the Lord Jesus Christ was laid was literally just a feeding trough for animals. So the picture here is the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't in, you know, a sanitized area. You know, when you think about that place, when you think how dirty it was and how smelly it was, and, you know, with the surroundings it was, why on earth would the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God with us, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, why would he even be laid in a manger? His lowly birth was the perfect symbol of his humility. That would characterize his life. He had nowhere, if you like, to lay his head. Luke 9:58, he said, and Jesus said unto them, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Mary, we're told, Luke tells us that Mary wrapped her firstborn in swaddling clothes, and you know, we understand we did exactly the same when our girls were born. You know, you would kind of put them in a blanket and kind of tie, I want to say tie them up tightly, that sounds awful, but you would, that's what you would do, because it literally replicated the womb. That's what, you know, that's what gave them comfort. If you see any depictions of, you know, Welsh women back at the turn of the century, well, I say the turn of the century, that was only 20 years ago, the turn of the last century, you know, the Welsh shawl and the way in which women would wrap the baby up right close to them, because it gave them that sense of what was natural and normal to them. But this didn't just replicate the womb, as it were. The swaddling clothes had far more significance, because the swaddling clothes spoke more of the Lord's death than it did of his birth. Even in his birth, we're reminded of Christ's death. And it's interesting the fact that we are told that, that he was laid in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, there's no room for the Lord today. In society, there's no room for him. There's no room for him in the schools. We, you know, we don't have Bible taught in schools. You know, our religious education now in schools is moving more towards humanism. Atheism is going to be made a compulsory subject in schools. Why would you teach on something that, you know, emphasizes something you don't believe in? Why is there a need for that type of lesson? You know, I don't believe in aliens. I don't believe in leprechauns. But there's no lessons in school to teach on the unbelief of leprechauns. You don't have that. But there is a push towards almost forcing people to not believe in the Lord. So there's no room in our schools for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no room in society. You know how difficult it is to make decisions as a church based on, you know, the government recommendations on COVID, because for months we had difficulty even finding regulations on places of worship. It was almost as if, you know, this is what you need to do if you're a restaurant, this is what you need to do if you're a shop, this is what you need to do. But there was nothing for a place of worship. It's almost as if the government had kind of forgotten that churches even exist. Why? Because there's no room. If the first minister was a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I can promise you this, there'd be a priority in saying, look, this is what we need to do to get the churches moving. This is what we need to do to make sure people's spiritual needs are met. But there's no room in the world today for the Lord Jesus Christ. So why was he laid in a manger? Because God wants us to know that even though the world has no room for him, he has room for us. He wants us to know that we have that access. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I will open the door. I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. We understand that in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to the church. This is not an invitation to the unbeliever to knock on. He's knocking on the door of your heart. And if you open the door of your heart, then salvation is yours. Yes, we can use that as application, but the interpretation is the Lord is talking to the church. He's talking to the church at Laodicea. And he's saying, I'm standing at the door. Unfortunately, there are churches today that have no room for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not right. If you ever go to a church and the Lord's name is not mentioned. John was telling me of an instance where he went to a church the other day and pre-lockdown. Okay, just so I don't get into trouble with the COVID police. So John went to a church, and this church had like over 1,000 years of history. And John was reading the history of this church, and do you know what wasn't mentioned? God, the Bible, or the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the point of a church? What's the point of a church if the Bible is not preached? What is the point of the church if God is not worshipped? What is the point of the church if the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not proclaimed? What is the point of the church if Jesus has no mention? It's useless. Listen, if you want to go to a community center, go to a community center. If you want to go and be entertained, stay at home and turn on the telly. But if you want to hear the gospel, if you want to be challenged in the way we live our lives as Christians, if you as a lost person want to be saved, then come to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ never stands at our door and knocks, saying, oh, if only that church would let me in. I know we've got a sign on the door saying no entry after the church has started due to COVID restrictions. But I don't ever want the Lord to be outside the door knocking to come in. Colossians tells us, Paul said in Colossians, Christ ought to have the preeminence. He ought to have the preeminence in our lives. He ought to have the preeminence in our church. He ought to have the preeminence in everything that we do as believers. All that we do, whatever it is, ought to give glory to God. That's what Paul said, whether you eat or drink, all should be done to the glory of God. And that's throughout the whole Bible. That's not a New Testament thing. Proverbs says, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. God is saying to us, listen, child, don't ever have a point in your lives where there's no room for me. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There ought not to be ever a time in our lives where we say to the Lord, no room. Listen, Christmas can't be cancelled. It's impossible to cancel Christmas. The celebrations might be different. The gatherings might be different. The gift giving might be different. It doesn't matter what the government says. It doesn't matter what rules and regulations are placed on us to keep us in our home for the safety of people. We understand that. But Christmas is not cancelled, why? Because there's never going to be a point whilst there's breath in our beings as a church that there'll be no room for the Lord. Ever. So why was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords laid in a manger? What a lowly place to be laid. You know the one thing, do you know what I am going to miss this year? Every year, Christmas Eve, I love our Christmas Eve service. I love that the church is full. I love that we have an opportunity to preach the gospel to the community that we don't normally have that opportunity. But I love listening to the kids singing Away in a Manger. I love it. Just to see them all up the front and just to sing that song. And I remember, and I don't know if it's because it brings back memories, but I remember as a child, my mother singing that to me. Sometimes through gritted teeth because I was such a naughty child. But that, why is it something like that just sticks in your mind? And it's such a simple lullaby, Away in a Manger. But how poignant. And I've said this before, some of the greatest theology we have comes from the simplest of children's choruses. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are low and the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my side until morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care and take us to heaven to live with thee there. What a gospel message. Because the manger reminds us of what the Lord did or what the Lord's purpose was in coming to this earth. God does not do things by mistake. There was a purpose that there was no room for them to lay down regularly. There was a purpose that they were in Bethlehem. People who lived in Nazareth, a couple of days' journey north. There was a purpose that they were there in Bethlehem. There was a purpose that Mary was pregnant at the time she was. God didn't do things by mistake. God didn't do things by accident. The Christmas story is not a coincidence. So even the fact that Christ was laid in a manger was part of God's divine plan. Why? Because the manger reminds us of Christ's rejection. There was no room in the inn, so a makeshift cradle was made. We're not told that the Lord was born in a stable. We have this depiction of our nativity and, we got this little wooden stable and a little star on the top or, maybe even in a cave. We're not told that the Lord was born in a manger. We're simply told that he was laid in a manger. And we know that a manger is a feeding trough. Let me ask you this question for all of those who've had children. Where did you place you a baby when you came home that first night from hospital? We had the most expensive Moses bath you'd ever seen in your life. All quilted, like Tempur style type of mattress on the bottom. It's like, she's a baby, right? What does she need all that for? Well, it didn't matter. That Moses basket had to be perfect. And then you'd transfer them to the crib and again, all plush little covers and quilts. And are they warm enough? And are they comfortable enough? Little bars on the side so they don't fall out. I wouldn't have come home and thought, love, do me a favor, chuck the baby in the sink, she'd be fine. That's all we got, just put it. Put some straw in. Yeah, straw will do it. That'll keep her nice and comfortable and nice and warm. Think what is going on. We'd never have thought to do that with a baby. So why did God place him in a manger? To remind us that the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth purposely to be rejected. He came unto his own and his own received him not. Even on the night of his birth, there was no room. Even at the time of his death, there was no room. Even today, there is no room for the Lord Jesus Christ. The manger reminds us of Christ's rejection. And he came to be despised and rejected of man so that we could be saved. So that he died so that we might live. He gave up everything so that we might gain everything. He became poor so that we could become rich. He died for our sin, so that we could be set free. The manger reminds us of his rejection, but it also reminds us of his empathy. When Jesus allowed himself to be laid in a manger, he was identifying with the poorest of people.
He identifies with our poverty. He knows our needs. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. How incredible that the Lord Jesus Christ empathizes with us. You know, there are people today who are destitute. There are people today who have absolutely nothing. And whilst the majority of society would never be able to empathize with those who have absolutely nothing, there is somebody that knows exactly what it means to have nothing. The Lord Jesus Christ became poor for our sakes, that we might be rich. We might not have anything in this life. We might go through this life and our bank account might not change a single bit. It will never really get much above, I don't know what is red and what's black. Is red good or red bad? Black's good? Okay. We might never be in the black much. We might always remain in the red, but do you know what? It doesn't matter how much material we have. It doesn't matter how much wealth we have. It doesn't matter. Because if we spend our whole lives trying to build up that bank account and we don't know Christ as our Savior, this bank account will mean absolutely nothing at the point of death. Christ is able to empathize with us. He knows the hairs on our head. He knows our needs before we even know ourselves. But thanks be to God, which giveth that unspeakable gift through Christ Jesus our Lord. He meeteth all our needs according to his riches in glory. He knows our needs. He identifies with our poverty. He knows our poverty. Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he's promised to meet our needs. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. He identifies with our poverty. He identifies with our problems. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. He knows about the trials we face. I think it's safe to say that when the news came out last night that we were going into yet another lockdown before Christmas, everybody's heart just kind of went, oh, how much more of this can we do? How much more can we kind of have the light removed from the end of the tunnel time and time again? We feel like, oh, we're just getting there. And then it's as if the rug is pulled from underneath and say, no, actually, we've got to go back almost to the beginning again. And it's hard. People are struggling. Families are struggling. There's uncertainty over job security. There's uncertainty over what the economy will do. There's uncertainty over what tomorrow holds. There's anxiety. There's fear. There's animosity. There's hatred. There's all of these feelings are kind of building up, and sometimes we feel like we have nowhere to turn except on each other. But the Lord identifies with our problems. You know, we don't serve a God who kind of sits up in heaven, lording it over us all and just kind of sitting back then and giggling when things are going astray. We don't serve some vindictive God who, like a spoiled child, just sits there under a microscope pulling the wings off a fly or anything. God identifies with our needs. He identifies with our problems. He knows what we're facing. He knows the anxiety we have. But he's able to meet those needs for us. He identifies with us. He was born in that humble manger to remind us that we have access to him. Imagine for a moment if the Lord had been born in Herod's palace. What if he'd been born in a palace? Let me ask you this question. How many of you have ever walked up to the gates of Buckingham Palace and said to the guard on the gate, do me a favor, just going to pop in and I don't like to call it Liz. That sounds really like the Queen. Go and see our monarch. I just come in to have a chat. Come up to London to have some tea. with the Queen. Do you mind if I come in? There'll be no way you're getting in. You might be able, if you can afford it, to go around the back of Buckingham Palace to the shop and pay for a tour. But you're certainly not going to get in and sit down and have an audience with the Queen. How many of you, and forgive me, I haven't got a clue what the royal grandchildren are called, or the great-grandchildren. So when Prince William and his wife had Kate, had their babies, how many of you rocked up and, you know, just said, oh, I'd just bring a little gift for the little ones? We wouldn't be able to do it. Why? Because we don't have that access. If the Lord Jesus Christ had been born in a palace, he would have put up a barrier straight away, and the only ones that would have been able to go and see him would have been the wise men. But that's not the case. The Lord was born, if you like, out in the open, accessible to everybody. And the ones that had then received the announcement that the Lord Jesus Christ was born were humble shepherds, people who were outcasts of society, people who had no right to be able to mix with anybody because that line of work wasn't something that was lifted up in any high regard. He was born in a manger. Why? So that he could say to a lost and dying world, everybody has access to me. Everybody, for God so loved the world. He didn't come just to save a certain select few people. He didn't come just to save those who were tick enough boxes. He didn't come just to save those who would do enough good deeds. He didn't come to save those who he'd already predetermined were going to be saved. Every single person in the world has the same access to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the manger reminds us of that. He wasn't locked away in a vault. He wasn't hidden behind the palace walls. He was out in the open. It teaches us about access. The manger teaches us about satisfaction. When Mary took her newborn baby and placed him in that manger, she was painting an image far more vivid than she would ever realize. The word manger. Well, there we are. Me and Eva were having a bit of a French lesson the other day. And she was like, oh, did you know prêt-à-manger means ready to eat? And I was like, well, I knew manger meant eat. I did a bit of GCSE French in my time. And manger is to eat. So what does manger sound similar to? Manger. Wow. How cool is that? The Greek word for manger literally means, or the root word from it means to feed. That's what it means. If you look at Matthew chapter 2 and verse 6, and Matthew 2, 6, when the wise men came asking where the King of Kings would be born, in Matthew 2 and verse 6 it says, and thou, Herod asked the scribes and the priests to find out, and they came back and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet in verse 6, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. They quoted from Micah 5:2. So if you turn to Micah, and this is where I always have a little smile now, because you can almost hear everybody singing the Bible song in their mind. Jonah, Micah, Nahum. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. It says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide, for now shall be great unto the ends of the earth. In verse 4, it says, he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord. Feed in the Hebrew is raha. The Lord is my Ra'ah. The Lord is my shepherd. The Ra'ah means to feed, to graze, to shepherd. This probably explains why the shepherds were the first to visit the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd. They understood what it was to keep sheep. There in Bethlehem, the house of bread of life was born. There laid in the manger was the one who would feed, as it were, the entire world, the bread of life that would sustain life. How appropriate that the Lord Jesus Christ, who would feed the souls of countless multitudes, should have his bed in a place where the mere animals came to feed. It just serves to remind us that when hungry men come to Christ and receive him, he satisfies their longing soul. Psalm 107:9, for he satisfieth the longing soul. He filleth the hungry souls with goodness. Can I say this today? We need to be fed. The church is starving. We need to be fed. People at this present moment in time are starving. And they need to be fed. The lost might not realize how starved and malnourished they are. But they need to be fed. The Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, was laid in a manger to say to us and to remind us, look, my son will be rejected. But because of his rejection, he will open up the doors of heaven to all who would believe. Look, my son is laid in a manger. But that just shows the empathy that he has with a lost and dying world. You can't turn around and say to the Lord, well, you just don't understand what I'm going through, because every feeling that we've had, the Lord went through exactly the same thing. God says, look, my son was laid in a manger, because it just shows that everybody, no matter who they are, no matter the walk of life, from the humble shepherds, the lowest of society, to the wise men, almost the most esteemed in society, even to Herod, had the same access to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was laid in a manger, a simple feeding trough, to tell the whole world, I'll feed the hungry soul. I'll satisfy you. If you're lost, I'll satisfy that need with salvation. If you're saved, I'll continue to feed you throughout your whole pilgrimage. Just like the manna never ran out in the wilderness, just like the clothes and the footwear never wore out in the wilderness, I'll get you through this pilgrimage. Can I say this to you, church? There might be times when we feel like I can't do this pilgrimage anymore. This world is tough. The situation we find ourselves in now is hard. And I can't go on. Can you just be reminded of that little manger? To say, do you know what? The Lord will feed you. The Lord will sustain you. And you can keep on going. I think the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is a significant event. Was he born on December the 25th? I'm going to upset a lot of people now. No, I don't think so. We're not told exactly when he was born. Personally, I think he was born during the Feast of Tabernacles, but we're not told exactly when he was born. But it's a day that we celebrate his birth. And it's a day that feels different. And as a church, we just have to take every opportunity to proclaim the gospel truth that Christ was born. We're not told the day he was born. Because if he was just born and he'd celebrated his birthday as every other person does and then died, and that would be the end of the story. But the fact of the matter is this. God told us when he died. He died at Passover. He died at the perfect time, as the perfect lamb to take away the sins of the world. This day is a day that is different because of the one we're celebrating, not because of the gifts, not because of the decorations, not because of the dinner, not even because of the family gatherings. Take all of that away, and this day will still be just as different way. Not because of what we do,
but because of whose birth we celebrate.
I recognize this year is going to be different. It's going to be different for us. But it doesn't take away from the fact that Christ was born. And he was born for the sole purpose of dying upon the cross, so that our sins could be forgiven. So that through every stage of life, through every battle that we face, through every valley that we traverse through every difficulty we come against, the Lord will say to us, I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I'll carry you through to the other side. Just trust me. It's difficult to do that today because we want to fix things ourselves. We want to understand what's going on in the world. We want to rationalize what's going on. And sometimes we can't. Sometimes we've just got to say, okay, Lord, it's in your hands. I'm sure when Mary and Joseph turned up in Bethlehem, they probably had the same kind of feelings that we did. Why? Why is this going on? I can't believe it. Why is this happening? What's going on? But there was a purpose to it. That purpose is still being talked about today. We don't understand everything that's going on in the world, but I know who's in control. And I'm not going to try and work it all out. I'm just going to trust him, because that's what he's told me to do. He can handle it far better than I can. The way in a manger. How incredible that the King of Kings was placed in such a humble feeding trough, but he would be the one that would satisfy the hungry souls of this world. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time together this morning and for all that you do for us. Lord, we just ask again that you would continue to speak to our hearts, that you would help us through these days and times of difficulty, that you would encourage us, Lord. May this Christmas be the best Christmas that we've ever had, because all distractions are removed. All noise, if you like, is removed. And the only thing that we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, may this year more than ever, we recognize the significance of just being alone with you. And may we feel your presence like we've never felt before. And we'll be mindful to give you all the glory for it. If somebody's listening to this message who has never trusted Christ as their Savior, then may today be the day that they recognize that they have access to the Savior, that there's nothing they have to do other than admit their sin and confess him as Lord and just believe that he died upon the cross. Would somebody cry out to him today, Lord, for salvation? Father, for those who are hurting and struggling, help us to just trust you, to recognize that we have a high priest who knows what we're going through, who knows what we need. I'm thankful that we serve a God who is able to meet each and every need that we have. Father, would you just help us today, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Steve is going to sing our last hymn for us, our last carol this morning. Thank you, Steve.
Baby. Christian children all must be mild, obedient, good as he. For he is our childhood's pattern, day by day.
Before the throne of grace, because of our position in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are a child of God, we're able to come to the Father to make our request known and to find help at a time of need. And Father, each and every one of us need help at this moment in time. Father, we ask again that you would be with those who have tested positive, those who are struggling with this virus, and we ask that you would undertake for each and every one, for those who are on the front lines in work, Lord, those who have no option to stay at home but have to go into work every day. We pray that you continue to keep them safe, and we pray for us as a church that you would help us, Lord, to make the right decisions, to keep people safe, to minister to the needs of our congregation. And Father, to above all, to be mindful to put you first in all that we do, whether it's making a decision, Lord, or whether it's ministering here in the church. So Father, would you just help us, we pray. Help us, Lord, to recognize how incredible this time of year is. And maybe this year, more than ever, we'll be able to reach a lot more people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the situation that the world is facing. So, Father, we just pray now that you'd continue to keep us safe through these difficult days that lie ahead of us. And we'll be mindful to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.